I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up later in the program, we'll travel to Pocomoke City to visit the owner of Hardwire LLC, an armor manufacturing company that's increasingly playing a role in national conversations about school safety. We'll bring you the latest in our LC Diaries series as we touch base with Richard and Jessica Johnson in the final days of their round-the-world sailing expedition. But before we do, we're going to talk technology. Ocean City was just named one of Google's top 50 e-cities in the country. If you're wondering what that means, the search engine giant picked one city in each state, recognizing what it calls the strongest online presence for business. But today, we'll meet some local businesses that shy away from the technological advances that have flooded our daily existence. We'll meet two hotel owners who have reluctantly started to step into the digital age, and we'll meet the owners of a highly acclaimed restaurant who have absolutely no plans to change their old-fashioned ways. We'll start at the city's oldest operating hotel, the Langford Hotel on the Boardwalk. It's a beautiful Victorian-style building with a throwback style and a charm that takes you back to a time when no one knew what Wi-Fi meant and the only type of phone used had a rotary dial. The Langford has been family-owned since the 1920s, but now it's operated by Mary David and her sister Sarah. Mary told me the hotel has struggled in the past few years and recently turned to a cable television show called Hotel Impossible to help get its business model a bit more up to date. But as Mary explains, part of the hotel's charm is that it's always been a bit different.
I think, we've always been a family-friendly environment. We definitely cater to families and couples only. We do that now. When you make a reservation, we ask if you're a family or a couple. And I think back then, back when it was first built by my grandmother's aunt, you didn't necessarily have all the craziness in town anyway. It was a fishing village, so you had people, it was, respectable, and it was a little easier to manage things. Now we're a big bar town, so you have people coming here to party and trying to figure out which ones are partiers and which, ones are families are sometimes difficult. But, just trying to, keep families and couples only in here that's how Ocean City has changed. And although it's still a family town, the clientele has certainly changed.
I guess from a business perspective, segmenting it down to only a certain niche of a tourist group could be both a pro and a con. I'm sure there are some people that come here that like the fact that you're only inviting or welcoming families and couples. But do you feel like it hurts you sometimes when you'll look at the bottom line at the end of the year?
Definitely, because there are, you have to turn down a lot of reservations. So in the off season, when there are limited reservations because schools are in and families can't travel, and the only people coming are, groups of people. But you might have those few families that are here, and then if they're staying next to an apartment full of 20-year-olds that are going out to bars, it just doesn't, they don't coexist very well. So it's definitely a pro and a con. It hurts us sometimes.
Talk about, I guess, the resiliency as a hotel, as a family, to, I guess, stick to your guns when it came to that sort of mantra and that sort of business model when the world around you is changing, not just the client base, but also technology. I know this place is been, I guess, a bit reserved when stepping into all of the things in the digital age that not only hotels can do, but also consumers want.
We are a business that's always done it the same way. And in recent years, we've started to see how families making reservations online, especially in the off season, the Holiday Inn next door is offering great specials, and we don't even have a presence online. So of course those families go stay there and not here. Now we have our clients that love us and will only stay here, and that's how we're still in business. The people that love us will only come to the Langford. So luckily we have our, core group of clientele that just always come back, which has kept us here. But that busy time of year and those clients, it's not as we're only open seasonally. So that where we used to be busy a good 6 months, now it's dwindling because, schools are in later and whatnot. And so in terms of technology, it just with, you know, having someone come here and help us, he's shown us the light that perhaps we need to step out of the box. But we never did, just because we've always done it a certain way. And with my mother still owning the place, it's, you know, you do it mom's way.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's like, you know, we just never even thought to do it any different.
Some hotels have PR people, marketing people, people that are online gurus that are really trying to harvest this ever-growing swell of people who are booking their vacations online. When did it become apparent to you that you had to change a little bit to keep up and to stay relevant and to stay solvent as a business?
When the internet first came to be, you know, we knew we had to get a website. People are looking for us online. But we kept it very simple. So I would say, really, if it weren't for Hotel Impossible, we probably still wouldn't have changed
right.
a thing. We would have just kept it the same and just, you know, lived paycheck to paycheck, even as a hotel,
right.
just, you know, keeping it open but not thriving. So really, it was just, they opened our eyes to, you know, you can do this slightly different, get a few more people in the door, and then you don't have to struggle so much from year to year to keep your doors open.
Right.
You can, as a family, you know, be successful and stay in business.
Yeah.
And, you know, people love it here, so we hate to close the doors. Plus, it's always been in our family. So, yeah, you know, we would have never changed.
Talk about how those, you know, first couple steps have been. Have they been scary to do?
Definitely been scary. It was a struggle just to accept credit cards. It took us like a month worth of paperwork. And every time we thought we were, okay, we're going to do it this week. And it was, oh, you didn't fill this out. And so it was literally a month long process. They were here in June, the TV show. And then we didn't start accepting credit cards till like the first week of August.
Do you think that it's harder and harder for small mom and pop type hotels or even businesses throughout this town to continue to survive as we move further and further into the digital age?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what's hurt us the most. Just when Ocean City had their real estate boom and, you know, all of a sudden all these big brick buildings were going up. There again, we saw our business dwindling because, you know, they have 600 rooms in one building and we have 50. So, and because they have so many, they can discount them just to get them sold. Whereas,
right.
you know, we need a, and they're open year round and they have pools and fancy, you know, arcades and restaurants and everything else. So it's definitely hurt the mom and pop businesses. But luckily for us, you know, we pride ourselves on being clean and quiet. And that's what a lot of families want. So it gets the people coming back.
A few blocks away, just off the boardwalk, sits the Ocean Manor Hotel, a series of quaint beach cottages that survived the famous 1933 storm that carved the Ocean City Inlet. Brian Nygaard and his wife bought this hotel when he was just 24 years old, back in the early 70s. And more than 40 years later, he hasn't changed all that much in the way he does business.
We really, being a mom-and-pop operation, don't have the time or, I don't know, if being older, the energy. We don't do a lot of the work where major hotels do as far as getting out there to market some people and offering the specials, not having swimming pools and the amenities they have, suites and that sort of thing. So we just still basically try to operate mostly with the customer base that we've built over a 43-year period. Basically, probably, and this is just thrown out, 50-60% of our business at least are repeat customers, kids, children, grandchildren, people that this is the only place they've ever stayed, and word of mouth. And some of these people, or a lot of these people, told us over the years that the reason they stay here is because we are who we are. We give them a personal experience. They like us. Even though it's an older place, there's a lot to be desired. We give them a clean, friendly atmosphere. We have a great location. So I guess that's about it.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges for you?
Just the challenge of letting people know we're an alternative. If they like, there are people. We found that wherever they travel, they look for an older place. They don't like the name hotels or the franchises. Been told many, many times that the person will say, we stayed at such and such a hotel, fancy place. They didn't find it to their liking, whether it was cleanliness or friendliness or whatever, that this was just fine and this was where they're going to stay.
You know, millions of people come to the coast every year, and different people want different things. And certainly, I've heard it said to me before that, you know, places like this are kind of a throwback to the nostalgic sort of charm of old Ocean City. Do you think that's part of the allure for your business?
Yes, of course. You being here in my office, you haven't seen our property behind this main building. We have a private yard with a row of cottages that can be found in a picture I have right in my office. These cottages were in that yard, in that place, in 1933 when the storm cut the inlet through. Mm-hmm. Now they've been pieced together, but you can see the picture of our little cottages. There's a private yard with picnic tables, charcoal grills. You can't find that everywhere, hardly anywhere in Ocean City, especially these little cottages.
When you look at next summer and you start planning for next summer, will you consider maybe doing things a little bit differently, whether it's adding technology or just a new sort of marketing strategy to improve that a little bit? Or, you know, do you have another idea in mind about how to improve things?
After 43 years, we're not going to do anything different. The hardest part, obviously, in an old place, as well as new places, is keeping things up, repairing, no matter how hard we work, no matter how many things we change in the Ocean Manor. There's always something else that has to be done that we want to try to make it better and for the people. And it is very hard with an older place. You can only do so much.
Finally, we'll head to Bishopville, Maryland, where one of the most acclaimed restaurants on the coast sits nestled in the trees on a curvy country road. The Grove Market is often considered locals' best-kept secret. But over the past few decades, the word has gotten out on the unique ambiance and the old-fashioned approach to create a dining experience that almost blends a great house party with a little touch of theater and a whole lot of culinary wizardry. For owners Leslie Lunga and Dale Baker, success has been more listening to their guts and their loyal customers than listening to some sort of concrete business plan.
I don't think we had a business model. We were the kind of, we flew by the seat of our pants from day one. We bought a steam crab operation, a little seafood market. Dale had been in the restaurant business, bar business, so he had that coming into it. But we knew nothing about crabs, but we are quick learners.
This place, I've driven by it several times, but it had been available, but we were always doing something else. It was kind of out of the way, but we liked the looks of it. For 1987, it was available. We weren't doing anything. We worked a deal on it. And we were in the crab business.
The first season.
Closed down, went to the Keys, got jobs, came back, and did it again. And we ran the crab business for about, I don't know, 6-7 years. We didn't have any tables when we first started. We had one picnic table in the back room. And our friends would come over and eat. And slowly but surely, we put more tables in, more people came in. In the fall that year, people were calling to come in, and we said, the crab season's over. And they said, well, what do you have? We want to come in. So we put together a small menu. We had a very nice chef, Ray Cole, and we did weekends all winter. And in the spring, we decided we were through with crabs and we're going into food business. And that's how it started.
There's many charming things about the Grove Market that make it unique from any other restaurant experience that you can find really here on the coast. There's no menus. The servers articulate the menu, which changes often. It's a small menu. And, you know, it's some of what's known as some of the finest dining in town, but there's not all the bells and whistles as far as decor. It's very charming here. A lot of cool knickknacks and things like that. But did you make a concerted effort to kind of just hold true to what you thought your vision was, regardless of what other people around you were doing as far as the type of food that you were serving and the type of experience your diners were having?
Absolutely. We're pretty independently minded. We knew what we could accomplish. We flew by the seat of our pants. Every day was a little different, but we weren't spring chickens when we went into this, so we had some confidence in our abilities, and we could improvise. My background is theater, dance, so improvisation was a key for me, so that's how we ran to a certain extent. No game plan, no five-year goal, just day by day building a business.
Yeah. Has it ever surprised you how much your customers love this place and how much this has been embraced in the community as one of the go-to places for a dining experience?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I've always gone to small mom-and-pop places. I've lived all over the country in various resorts, and I enjoy this type of place. Some people don't quite get it. They're used to going to big restaurants that seat 300 people. But our customers that we've built up over the year, yes, they do enjoy it. There's people that call us and say, if we can't get a seat at the Grove, we're not coming down this weekend. Literally, there are a couple people that do that.
Right.
So that's, of course, that makes us feel great. But it's hard to please all the people all the time.
Sure.
We've created a community, really. There are nights when we come into the house and we know pretty much everybody in the house. Mm-hmm. And to be a public eatery, that's incredibly fortunate for us. You know, just we have created a family, and they get a sense of that. You get a sense of community when you walk in through the door. There is a warmth. And I think that verbal presentation with the menu feeds into that, mm-hmm. because you actually have this contact with your table that you wouldn't normally have. So it's just built up into something over the years. Mm-hmm. We're as fortunate as they are, you know, in lots of respects there.
Now, when people want to get a table at the Grove, and it should be noted that, you know, you can wait weeks to get a table at the Grove. You really should book a table a couple weeks in advance, certainly in the summertime. But, you know, you call in and there's a voice message. And there's no online, you know, book your table, so to speak. You don't even have a website, I don't think. Was there ever any consideration of keeping up with the Joneses, as far as other restaurants, with upping your technological presence?
Not really. You know, we're so small, we're doing everything we can do. We don't have the staff to have a full-time person answering the phone. We really don't care to have a website. If people listen to the message and follow the instructions, that's the best we can do.
Do you think that the fact that you've stuck to your laurels and you're doing things the way you kind of have always done them, regardless of what's happening in the world around you, adds to the charm of this place?
Most definitely, most definitely. People don't like change, and that's what we have certainly found here at the Grove. And I think there's a certain respect. Dale and I are very hands-on. We're in here working it day after day. People sense that and feel that and want to support that endeavor. You mm-hmm. know, people working hard. That's why that's part of the success, I think, seeing us in here constantly. But yeah, no, we don't have any plans to change. We're pretty comfortable with the clothes we're wearing, you know. And it doesn't work for everybody, and we understand that. We're not made for everyone. You have to, you know, we are a little quirky and a little off kilter, right. But it works for us, and it works for a lot of our clientele.
That was Dale Baker and Leslie Lunga, owners of the Grove Market in Bishopville. We'll take a short break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo.